Welcome, everybody. It's the Real Estate Ninja Show. It's a beautiful sunny Thursday outside, and we're thankful that you're joining us today. I am Adam Hefner with First Rate Financial, joined by...
I'm Kevin Cross, owner of Cross & Associates of Keller Williams.
And we have an exciting topic today. We are going to be taking some phone calls, and our phone number here at the studio is 522-0650. Again, that phone number is 522-0650. Kevin, why don't you kick it off? What are we talking about today?
Well, today's topic is something that's all near and dear to our hearts. It is the real estate evaluation process and the appraisal process. And so what I'd like to go and do is, looks like I'm on the wrong mic. How about that?
All right, there we go.
Minor... Real Estate Ninja kicked me in the face over to the right, microphone.
All right, why don't you run that again by us, Kevin?
Yeah, you bet. It looks like, so today we're going to be talking about the evaluation process, real estate appraisals. We're all concerned about the value of the real estate that you own, or perhaps you're in the process of buying a property and you're concerned about the appraisal coming in high, low, indifferent. How is it the appraisal came in exactly at my purchase price? Is that just suspicious? Mm-hmm. And so we're here to remove some of the myths as well as explain some of the frustrations that a lot of us as real estate investors, real estate owners, and buyers are finding with the new government regulations and how it's affected real estate appraisals.
That's exactly right. The industry has changed a lot over the years, Kevin, and the government's heavy hand is increasingly more and more involved and affects the industry from every area. I want to get into that a little bit later in the show, but let's talk about valuation and how appraisal values are come to. And when I sit with a client and for the purposes of refinance per se, we need to come up with an estimation of the value. And so we'll talk, we'll look at the municipal tax records, right? And we'll kind of come up with a value. Oftentimes, the client will tell me about all of the upgrades they've done to the property, new kitchen, new flooring, new roof, some new landscaping that they've done, right? And one of the things that I tell my clients when we're determining a value for a refinance is that frustratingly little to do with the value of the home has to do with their home itself, and more of the valuation has to do with the other buildings in the neighborhood that have sold recently or comparable sales. Would you tell us a little bit about how that works?
That's exactly right. And so if any of you have recently purchased a property or sold a property and you've had the delightful experience of reading through an exhaustive real estate appraisal and trying to make sense of it, you will discover that most of the information is not about the subject property, but it's in fact about the properties that surround it.
Mm-hmm.
See, the known value of the subject property that's either being sold or bought is considered X. It is the unknown evaluation. What we do is we analyze current active properties. That is, what does the competition look like and how are we valued to the active? But let's be honest. Active properties are technically rejected by the market until they have sold and a buyer has bought it. So more credence or value is given to closed and pended properties.
And that right there is, is the definition of fair market value, right? When you have a buyer and a seller that agree on terms, shake hands, and that is that's the real open fair market value of that property, right?
That is exactly right. And of course, you as a buyer are going out and you're making a decision based on what is active and looking for the best deal. You're looking for the most amount of property for the least amount of money and the least level of resistance, in looking for the benefits of that property in relation to your specific needs and how does that fit and improve your lifestyle in compared to what's active. However, when an appraiser comes in, they're going to be looking at what is the valuation. The appraiser's goal is not to justify your purchase. The appraiser's goal is to protect the bank and protect the bank that if you, for whatever reason, completely unplanned, that life throws you a curveball and you are not able to make the payments, that they know the value of that asset in relation to their risk. And so they're going to use closed properties in order to justify that valuation.
And you mentioned earlier that some people are confused or confounded by the fact that the appraisal came in exactly at the purchase price. And obviously the valuation or the valuation that the buyer and seller have agreed upon or that purchase price plays a role in that, doesn't it?
It does. In fact, an appraiser, if it's a new purchase, requires a copy of that contract.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of what they're doing, and let's be honest. Just like there's good and bad lenders and good and bad realtors and good and bad plumbers and good and bad law enforcement, there are good and bad appraisers. Appraiser analyzes your purchase, or they take a look at your purchase and sell contract. They start analyzing the comps. And as long as they think it's reasonable and you're within market value, 99.9% of the time it comes in at value.
Mm-hmm.
Only in rare instances do they show gross differences. In fact, you may think that you got a screaming deal on the property, and in fact you did, but the appraisal came in at value, and then you may have angst or regret, saying, gosh, it came in at value. I thought I was getting a great deal. Well, you need to understand, this is just one man's opinion, the appraiser's opinion, based on subject comps. And as long as he thinks that you're getting the value and you're able to close the loan, he'll come in close to value.
And also the seller's motivation comes into play there as well when someone is buying a building with a lot of equity because, again, fair market value, buyer and seller. A typical seller wants to make as much as he can on his property, right? There are very few sellers that are benevolently giving away equity, right?
That is correct.
There are certain circumstances where someone has to leave town in a hurry. It's a fire sale because of a divorce. Maybe it's a military family moving out where they have to sell something quickly and are willing to offer a big chunk of equity. But a typical seller, especially in this market, is going to want as much as he can get for his building.
And that's just reasonable. I mean, let's be perfectly honest. We do more to avoid pain than experience pleasure. And the only reason a seller typically leaves a lot of equity on it is because the value of selling it quickly with minimal effort is less painful than holding out longer for more money. But in most cases, let's be honest, cost cures all woes. You throw enough money at it and it no longer is painful. Typically speaking, you just don't see massive differences in appraisals. And if you did, and it values, listen, that's fantastic if you're the buyer and you see this, but let's be honest. Even if the appraisal came in on a $300,000 house, let's say the appraisal came in at $400,000. If your purchase contract is $300,000 between buyer and seller, you're still paying mortgage insurance if you're using an FHA.
Mm-hmm.
You would think that, gee, the appraisal's so high, I can show this equity. I don't have, wrong answer.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
The bank is going to say, no, the seller sold it at 300. You bought it for 300. This appraisal is only this individual's opinion. It doesn't guarantee what I'll be able to sell it for. The fact is you bought it for 300, regardless of what the appraisal says. You're paying mortgage insurance.
And that's how the bank is going to determine value. Or when the bank is determining what we call our LTV, or loan to value, how much money they'll lend you against the value of that asset, they always use the lower of either the appraised value or the purchase price.
That's correct.
Right?
So let's take that same situation. You bought a property for $300,000. The valuation appraisal comes in at $400,000. If you want to avoid mortgage insurance, you still have to put down 25 to 30%. So you will still have to put down your roughly $60,000 on that, $75,000 on that purchase to avoid mortgage insurance.
And really, 20% is adequate in most situations to avoid mortgage insurance, but still, 20% is a chunk. Now, what you can do, and I guess one step back, the reason that the bank uses the lower of either the appraised value or the purchase price, the reason that they use that approach is because what they're looking for is skin in the game, right? They want to make sure that you've got some financial personal interest in this property. Whereas if they allowed you to use what could potentially be an exaggerated appraised value to determine that loan to value, you potentially could get into the building with nothing out of pocket, right? And over the past handful of years, our industry and our country has learned that zero down loans do not perform very well. And so the bank is wanting to see some personal skin in the game.
That's correct. In fact, you would discover that a remarkably very low number of the loans that required down payment actually went into default since 2007, 2008. Mm-hmm. The big 900-pound gorilla were the zero down. You got a loan for 80% of the property value up front and then another loan for the other 20%, and you walked in. Let's be honest. If it requires nothing for you to get into it, what is your motivation other than maybe some damaged credit, if you care, on exiting the property?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they've learned the hard way that, I guess you would, for lack of a better term, you don't just give stuff away.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good way to get buy-in, to get somebody who's going to take care of it. A reasonable down payment is actually the best way to secure that that loan does not go into default.
Exactly, because you're motivated then to protect your investment or protect your dollars. Now, what you can do if you find a building that has a bunch of equity and you're able to get a really good deal in it, and you are then slightly frustrated that your appraised value comes in right at that purchase price, what you can do is then, depending on loan type, if you've owned that building for 6 to 12 months afterwards, you could refinance the property, and at that point in time the bank would recognize that new appraised value, and so you get to have a discussion with the appraiser when he comes out to your property. You tell him you bought it for a good deal, you go through your upgrades and repairs, he's going to come up with a new fair market value, and quite possibly that value could be significantly higher than your purchase price, and then you could do a cash out refinance to scoop some of that equity out and do something else with it if you so desired.
That's correct. So if you buy a property that's heavily distressed, you put in the proper remedies, and then you can have it refinanced in as little as 90 days and go out and refinance it. Mm-hmm. The banks don't much care for that because, you know, they're planning on getting interest on that loan, and they kind of get a scowl on their face when you go and get a 30-year mortgage and then refinance it in 90 days. But if you can drop your interest rate, if you can refinance it, if you can maybe remove your mortgage insurance, let's be honest, it just makes sense.
And there are no prepayment penalties. Got to make sure there's no prepayment penalty.
Well, actually, prepayment penalties on your primary residence are illegal in Alaska and through most of the United States.
Now, we're talking about value, and we've discussed that the value of your home has surprisingly little to do with actually your building and its upgrades, but has more to do with the open and fair market and the building right down the street that sold. That being said, there are some things and in specific areas that you can invest money into your property to get maximum increase in value. So, Kevin, as you're marching around looking at properties all day long, where are the areas that you see where you can apply a small amount of effort and get maximum value back?
Excellent. I will tell you what you get your highest rate of return on. We all know that mom is the 51% majority shareholder in your home buying decision.
And if mom ain't happy, nobody's happy.
That's exactly right. Listen, for the most part, listen to your wife on the things that she really likes, and that is kitchens and bathrooms. Okay? Now, kitchens and bathrooms do phenomenal. Now, what they're doing is they not only increase because of the money you invest in it, but if it's a functionality or it benefits the experience of living in the property, you get additional return. Outside of that, the next equally, if not greater than kitchens and bathrooms, are going to be your major structural components, your roof. And then surprisingly enough, you see massive return on heating system, window improvements, and energy efficiency. And the reason for that is that replacing and improving the heating system is not only a immediate return on the functionality of the property. I get hotter water faster. I got this new heating system. But it is the long-term benefit of reduced utility bills. I will tell you, recently we had an appraisal come in low by almost $10,000. I supplied the appraiser with an invoice showing the heating system had been recently replaced. The cost of that heating system was $6,000. But it increased the appraisal back up to the purchase price, back up to that $10,000. The appraiser not only made adjustments for the heating system, but then also to the benefit to that property on having, being much more energy efficient, lower utility costs, and therefore is a lower cost of burden in living in compared to other properties.
And quick time out for shameless plug. That's why it's important to have a really good realtor, right? When an appraisal comes in low, that can be a disastrous event and can shake the foundations of any transaction. And having a good real estate agent who stays calm in the face of adversity and says, hey, let's stay curious, how can we solve this problem and keep this deal together, is very important, isn't it, Kevin?
It is. As a commissioned employee helping you sell your property, I the more money I sell your property for, the best I do. The next part, listen, I'll be perfectly honest. In this market, selling a property is a piece of cake. Okay, we know there's a housing shortage. You read it. And for the most part, if we're priced right, it's staged right. Now the competition can change and other properties can hit it that affect it. But realistically, we're getting good turnover out there. However, the next thing that goes into it once you get into a contract is what I call bulletproofing a transaction. That is really where the work of a great realtor comes in. Bulletproofing a transaction, making sure that there's not going to be significant either home inspection issues or appraisal issues or underwriting issues, knowing who the buyer's financing is, doing enough deals, the difference between the good, bad, and ugly with lending and financing, the fees that are implicated. But that whole enigma, particularly as it comes to appraisals and making sure that appraisal doesn't come in low.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain things that we can do. There are certain things. There's also restrictions that are put onto us by the federal government as far as our interaction with the appraisal. But there are simple ways that we can get around that. Appraisers don't like to have direct contact with realtors. But if I remove the lockbox and I hold the key, and the only way he can get to it is if I let him in, guess who he has to come into contact with?
You.
And guess who's going to give them and tell them all the wonderful things regarding this property in order to help make the property value at its current purchase price?
Absolutely. All right, so I can hear everyone grabbing their pen and paper. Kevin, what's a good number to reach you at?
You can contact Cross & Associates at 865-6529 here in Anchorage. We cover Wasilla, Girdwood, and just about everywhere in Alaska.
Perfect. Okay, back to investing in your building and getting maximum value. So if I spend $10,000 upgrading my kitchen, new cabinets, new flooring, backsplash, right? If I spend $10,000 upgrading my kitchen, what kind of return on my investment can I imagine my appraised value?
It depends on the purchase price. Listen, you need to know what the other houses in your purchase price are equipped with. Listen, if you've got a house over $500,000, you got Formica countertops and you got stuff, and you upgrade to solid surface, you've just brought your home up to what is considered the standard resale of the houses in your price range. However, if you have a 3-bedroom, 1-bath, 1,100-square-foot, no-garage ranch, and then you go and put granite, you need to realize that you've increased your property above and beyond what is out there. So that is where it's very important. Listen, every real estate property is different on its evaluation in comparison to the other comps and what's currently active. Before you go spending a lot of money in upgrades, contact somebody who sells a lot of homes like we do and have us come take a look and give you a fair estimation or evaluation of your property so you know where it's best to invest your property. You know, you may discover that in your price range, we know that the neighbor's houses are what is going to dictate what your house sells for. So you need to be very careful that you don't overbuild and overspend, because you're only going to get so much value for that based on the sales in the neighborhood. So again, you need to consult with a real estate professional based on where they suggest that you invest your money. And you may find that in an older house, you're doing okay. You just need to make sure that you upgrade some heating system, replace some windows.
Perfect. So just to recap, it's important to use your money in a targeted fashion. We're going to get the best bang for our buck in kitchens and bathrooms. We want to make sure that we don't over-improve our property for the market, right? Don't over-improve your building for its price point or neighborhood. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back with more of the Real Estate Ninjas. Exactly right. Welcome back. It's the Real Estate Ninja Show. I am Adam Hefner with First Rate Financial.
And Kevin Cross with Cross & Associates Real Estate. Hey, everybody.
Hey. We are taking phone calls today. Our phone number is 522-0650. And if you'd like to get a hold of either Kevin or myself afterwards, you can contact me at my office at 222-5505. Again, that's 222-5505. Kevin, what's your number?
Cross & Associates at Keller Williams is found at 865-6529.
Perfect. Now, we're talking about home values, valuation, how value is determined, where are the best places to invest your money into your home to get maximum rate of return. I also want to spend a little bit of this half segment here on some government regulations that have happened recently, and that is specifically the HVCC guidelines, which stands for the Home Valuation Code of Conduct.
Or as we call it in the real estate business, the oppression of Big Brother.
That's exactly right. The heavy hand of government is ever more apparent in our industry.
Frustratingly so, I might add.
Frustratingly so, I absolutely agree. And this is something that most people are completely unaware of. Even if you've gotten a loan recently, you might not be aware of how these government changes are impacting you and the loan and lending process, as well as real estate as a whole. So the Home Valuation Code of Conduct, what is it? The Home Valuation Code of Conduct states that lenders cannot have any direct contact with the appraisers. So there's no this buddy-buddy relationship. Whereas back in the good old days, we used to get to select our appraisers. So it used to be a service-based industry, right? So we used to be able to send our business to the guy who did the best job, who had quick turnaround times, good communication, would call and alert us of a problem in advance. And all of that was wiped off the board, and now it's completely random. Right. So they literally spin a big wheel, they randomly select an appraiser, and then the appraiser gets in contact with the real estate agent.
Yes, you know, if you look at what caused this, right? We saw this massive, rampant number of foreclosures, due to high oil prices, the decrease in the bond market, and when mortgage-backed securities plummeted, interest rates went up. A lot of people were on adjusted-rate mortgages, but what it came down to is a bulk of the loans that went into default were simply because people use stated income loans or use loans where they didn't have to give any proof of income to go buy real estate. The solution to that for the federal government is let's punish the consumer further by creating these additional appraisal restrictions and guidelines. But here's what's funny. We all recognize the bailouts that happened for Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, our large five lending institutions. And so the federal government said, we're going to create this system where now the appraisals have to operate through this rotating system where they're rotated out. We can no longer choose our appraisers, and it's handled through a management system. But guess who owns the management system?
The banks do.
That's right. So what they said is, hey, you guys screwed this up so bad. What we're going to do is give you even more control over how this process is run.
Mm-hmm. And it gives them another way just to make more money as well. All right, we're going to pause for a quick second. We've got Jason on the line. He's got a quick question for us. All right, Jason, can you hear us?
We're traveling down to the lower 48, you know, kind of as we get older, we're going to thinking about the snowbird thing. And it's just as far as Washington. Now, I'm purchasing a piece of property in that area. I heard you say something really interesting. You said, you know, there's good realtors and there's bad realtors. And I know that when we go down there, to check out the site, you know what I'm saying? That's an investment. You know, you're leaving from here to go down there and meet with a realtor and this and that. What sort of measures can we take, like, to maybe, you know, because Alaska's going to be our home, but we want to get a fair deal but if we're going to fly, you know, my wife and I and two kids down there and then look at a couple of properties and line those up, what's a good way to do that?
Well, what I would encourage you to do is any realtor that you contact, one thing is I would say ask for referrals. I'd want to talk to some of their clients. I'd want to see some testimonials from clients that they've provided great service. And I want to make sure that this individual is, in fact, a full-time realtor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You do not want somebody that is a realtor/poodle groomer/insurance salesman/taco wagon. Okay? And there are a lot of individuals out there, because listen, whatever you focus on expands, and if they do it as a living and that's what they do full time, then and they've done it for, you know, a reasonable amount of time. Listen, even a new licensee can be a fantastic realtor, provided that they're dedicated to it. But I would definitely make sure that they're a full-time realtor. I would ask for personal references. And aside from that, it's really good to see if they've got any additional credentials showing that they are education-based.
Okay.
I think we're getting some
Jason, what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead. I want to talk a little bit about that as well. We're going to take the rest of the call off the line, okay? Okay, Jason, I would add it's also very important to make sure that you are pre-qualified as well. Your high-end real estate agents are going to want to make sure that when they present an offer for you, that it is a very strong offer. And so you need to make sure that you hook up with a good mortgage broker in the area to get your finances in order and make sure that you have a good, strong pre-approval letter. That way, when you approach your agent and a seller, you can do so confidently.
Yeah, and one of the ways you can test the licensee's salt is one of the first conversations that they're going to have with you is asking you if you've been pre-qualified. If they haven't asked you if you're pre-qualified and if you're ready to purchase and if you've been through that process, I would be really curious how many deals they've done, because why do you spend time out of your day and spend time out of your business to go help somebody who's not in any position to buy anything? That's just bad business model. So one of the first questions, don't be insulted, they're going to ask, have you been pre-qualified? Fantastic. Do you need a local lender that we can recommend to you before I spend time out of my day to show you a bunch of property?
Thank you. All right. Thanks for the question, Jason. We appreciate that. We're going to circle back around. I want to come back to the home valuation code of conduct and how that's kind of affecting us. And right before the phone call there, Kevin had pointed out a very astute fact that most of these new entities called appraisal management companies are owned by some of the biggest banks in the country. And so before the home valuation code of conduct came into play, there was no such thing as an appraisal management company. The real estate agent, the buyer, the seller, the lender could just simply select a qualified and licensed appraiser to bring a report to the table.
That's right.
Right.
And me as a realtor had a relationship with a bunch of fantastic appraisers where, listen, because I sell lots of houses and because I create lots of business for the appraisal, they give me preferential service, which means I could get an appraisal turnaround in 3 days, 5 days, a week. Okay. And that's because I knew great appraisers. I knew who did their job and I knew how they would provide me service. They've removed competition and service out of it. Now the appraiser who is a poodle groomer, who maybe is also a beautician or whoever on the side, has just as much of a chance of getting that appraisal as your full-time, highly trained and executed appraisal management service.
And it's all completely random. So they spin a big wheel, you might get a good one, you might get a bad one. And now that we have this big random system, we have the appraisal management company, which plays middleman. It's their job to manage and assign these reports. And guess what? They need to make money too, right? The appraisal management's cost money. That means that the overall cost of appraisals has gone up since the institution of these HVCC guidelines. The cost has gone up. Oftentimes, the amount of money that's paid to the appraiser who's doing the work has gone down. And the service, the level of quality and service has oftentimes gone down as well, because you might get a good guy, you might get a bad guy.
So from the real estate perspective, from a lender's perspective, let me tell you this, sellers and buyers. Your lender and your realtor are just as much as a victim in this process as you are. And do not take it out on them when you're expecting that appraisal to come in a week ago and it doesn't happen.
And it's frustrating, very frustrating.
The appraiser has up to 2 weeks to respond to their request for an appraisal. So, you know what, if someone asked me to provide them a CMA on their house or something, you know, as a professional, I would try to get back to them within 24 hours, give them a call and schedule up. Appraisers have up to 2 weeks to get back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they needed adjustments, and let's say he didn't do his job and perhaps there's wrong that needs to be adjusted, they give them even more time to make those adjustments, understanding that there's no consequence to them on closing that loan.
Absolutely. I had an appraiser that gave us a report that was a subject to appraisal. So he said, look, you've got some things you need to address. Once these repairs are completed, I'll come back out and verify they've been done. Well, he delivered this subject to report and then left for a 3-week vacation. It's a one-man shop. There's no one else in the office that can complete the report. So
You know, 3, 4, 5 days later, the seller had completed the repairs. We are ready to have the guy reinspect, and he's on the beach sipping Mai Tais and wasn't going to be back for 3 weeks, and we're all left in the lurch.
Yeah, and it's very frustrating. And so that's what happens a lot of times when government gets involved, when they particularly when they remove competition. Listen, how does this all, how do you solve this? If you're thinking about selling your house, if you're thinking about investing money into it, it's just like anything. You need to know who to contact. Contact our contact myself, Kevin Cross. Contact Cross & Associates at 865-6529. Be more than happy to give you a free market analysis on your property, determine where your best options are investing in that house. And then when you do choose to sell, you know, interview some realtors. They are working for you. Interview our team. See what we do differently to sell as many houses that we do, over 130 in the last 18 or in the last 12 months. And, you know, just you deserve the best. Give yourself the best options and be going well-educated.
I agree. And if you'd like to talk more about finances, if you'd like to look at exploring refinancing your home, interest rates are still very, very low. Give me a call at the office. My number is 222-5505. Again, that's 222-5505. I'd like to take a last like couple seconds that we have here to talk about REX, so the Real Estate Exchange. The Real Estate Exchange is for anybody who is interested in learning more about real estate as an investment. If you currently have investment properties, you want to stay up on market trends. And REX is coming up this Tuesday. So this Tuesday, it's at the Petroleum Club. It's 6 o'clock p.m. And we would love to see you there. It's open to the public. You can call an RSVP at 222-5505. This has been the Real Estate Ninja Show. Thank you very much for joining us, and we will see you next week on Thursday at 12:30 on 650 KENI.
All right. Thank you, Alaska.